Amen. Man, so much hidden talent in our church, right? I think that gives us an idea of starting new ministry teams, and so exciting. Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. Just a quick reminder, Easter is 2 weeks away, which means next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And usually Palm Sunday we have family service, which means the kiddos are going to stay with us. And so hopefully we will be able to worship together and really in preparation of recognizing Jesus' death and resurrection. We've been going through the season of Lent, and specifically we've been focusing on just being a bold witness, really wanting to be a faithful witness to the people around us, especially for those who do not know Christ, or maybe some friends that we have who maybe went to church but for various reasons have fallen away. And I really want to encourage us to continue to be praying. So we've been focusing on 1-1-1, right? So one time a day, just being in the Word and prayer. Once a week on Thursdays, fasting together from breakfast and lunch to pray specifically for our friends and coworkers who we want them to come to know Christ. And really focusing on that one person that we want to be a faithful witness to. And so there's 2 weeks left. And so I just really want to encourage us, let's be faithful in finishing the season of Lent well. And really, as we usher into this Easter weekend, which is such an important weekend for us, that we can do so with hearts that will celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so turn to the person next to you and let them know, Easter's coming soon. Are you ready? All right, so we are wrapping up our study in the book of 2 Timothy. We've been looking at 2 Timothy for the last few Sundays. And hopefully it's been an encouraging as well as a challenging series for us. Just a quick recap, 2 Timothy, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He's in prison, and he knows that this is probably it for him. And church history tells us that soon after he wrote this letter, that he was executed for his faith in Christ. And so he is writing this letter to Timothy, who is like his spiritual son. And he is, as an older pastor, pouring into this younger pastor, really encouraging him to stand firm in the faith. And so we've been talking throughout this series about Paul's encouragement, not only to Timothy, but to all of us to contend for the gospel. Because Paul knows that his time is quickly coming to an end. And so is, in a way, patching this torch down to Timothy, saying, Timothy, you're the one who has to carry on this mantle of proclaiming the gospel, of continuing to declare the work of Christ. And as we come to this last chapter, Paul gives his last encouragement, his final words to Timothy, and we're not going to look at the entire chapter, but this is what he writes, starting from verse 1, 2 Timothy 4:1. Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So as we look into today's passage, the one thing that I want to give us simply is this. Finishing well is not easy. Because even as Paul challenges Timothy to finish well, we know that finishing well is not easy, but we can rely on God's faithfulness that will empower us to be faithful to the end. That we can rely on God's faithfulness that will empower us to be faithful to the end. I think there's two specific challenges that Paul gives to Timothy. And so I want to talk about these challenges, not only to Timothy, but to all of us as well. These two specific charges. The first challenge or the first charge is this. It's the charge to remain faithful. The charge or the challenge to remain faithful. And we see this in verses 1 through 5. When you think about verses 1 through 5, really the thrust of what Paul is saying is found in verse 5 at the end when he says, fulfill your ministry. Right? This whole time, starting from chapter 1, Paul has been encouraging Timothy to stand fast in this calling to preach the gospel. And over and over again, he talks about the difficulties that Timothy will encounter. And once again, as he is writing this letter and as he's coming to his end, and not only end for himself, but as he is coming to that end of encouraging Timothy, once again, he reminds Timothy, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. In the NIV, it says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In the New Living Translation, it says, fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Right? It's this last encouragement to Timothy. Timothy, be faithful to do all that God has called you to do. To be faithful. And for Timothy specifically, we know that to fulfill your ministry, it means to be faithful to the ministry of preaching the word of God. In verse 2, Paul says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, we know the context of Timothy being a pastor of the church in the city of Ephesus. And we know that this journey that Timothy had, it wasn't easy. That there were so many obstacles that he had to overcome. And there were so many people who were opposing his ministry. But Paul says, fulfill your ministry. Don't waver from being faithful in preaching the word of God. Paul reminds Timothy once again that above all, God expects faithfulness. That God expects faithfulness. And I think that's really a powerful reminder to all of us. Regardless of how young or how old you are, this reality that God demands faithfulness from his people. In Revelations 2:10, this is the vision that Apostle John had in writing this letter. And in Revelations 2:10, this is what we read. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. And he goes on. And then the end of that passage, he says, be faithful unto end, to death, and I will give you the crown of life. The word of God reminds us that even in the midst of the sufferings that we will encounter, it encourages us to be faithful unto what? Even unto death. I think it's really remarkable and challenging to think about what the Word of God is saying, that your faithfulness and my faithfulness to God and His Word, that our faithfulness is more important than your life and my life. Be faithful unto death. But we know that being faithful, it's not easy. If it was easy, Paul wouldn't need to continue to remind the people around him to be faithful. I remember listening to the sermon when I was starting off in the ministry. It was by Dr. Charles Swindoll, and he was delivering this message at the chapel of Dallas Theological Seminary. And he was speaking to a bunch of seminarians who were aspiring to be pastors. And he was preaching specifically on the 2 Timothy 4 passage. And I'll never remember what he said. At one part of the sermon, he told the students, he said, don't assume that you are going to finish well. He just flat out said, don't assume that you're going to finish well in this ministry that God has called you to. And he told the story about one of the pastors that he graduated with in his class when he was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary, at DTS. And this pastor has a little book. And in this book, he would make note of all the classmates that they graduated with, but gradually in their pursuit of Christ that these pastors, one by one, fell from the ministry. And the reason why he kept this book wasn't to gloat over those who fell, but it was to remind himself that finishing well is not easy. And that's why Paul reminds Timothy that when you think about what it means to be faithful, it's not just, okay, Timothy, you just got to dig deep down. You just got to do it. You just got to continue to persevere. No, he says, Timothy, finish well, but remember that only way for you to finish well, first of all, is to root your faithfulness in who God is and God's character. Right? It's not about finding the strength within. It's not about thinking about the talents and the gifts. But it's finishing well, first of all, by remembering who God is. And more specifically, he tells Timothy to stand in awe of who God is. Because in verse 1, he says this, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. In the NIV, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. That exhortation, I charge you, it really has this connotation of being a witness to an event, to being a witness to something that you saw. And basically, Paul is saying, Timothy, I charge you in view of who God is. So Paul is saying, Timothy, this isn't coming from me. This is not my opinion. This is not what my thought of how you should live your life. But Paul is saying, in light of who God is, right? And more specifically, he says, God who is the judge of all. God who made himself not only known to us, but who also made his kingdom purposes known to us. He says, I charge you in the presence of this awesome and holy and living God who is, yes, gracious and merciful, but who also is righteous and holy. That as we stand in fear of who God is, and in Scripture, it uses that language a lot, over and over again, describing who God is. On one hand, yes, God is a God who is compassionate in his love for us. But God is a God who needs to be feared, this reverent awe of who God is. This judge who will come. And I know, especially in our culture, we don't like to hear about a God who comes to judge. But Paul reminds Timothy, this is who God is. In light of who God is, faithfully carry on the ministry. Let the character of who God is, let that be the fuel of your faithfulness to him. And we know that this is clearly not an easy task, right? Along the way, Paul has described the various encounters, these difficulties Timothy has faced, these people who have come against his specific teachings. And so Paul lets Timothy know in verse 3, people are, they're not going to be interested in hearing what they don't want to hear. They're going to seek out to hear only the things that they want to hear. And then in verse 4, he says, and when you preach the truth, people, they're not going to listen. And so he's already telling Timothy, Timothy, this is not an easy task. This is not an easy charge. And that's why he encourages Timothy to remember, Timothy, our faithfulness, it must be planted in something that's deeper than just us. It's not just, okay, I have to be faithful because I have to be faithful. Because I don't know about you, but if that was what's fueling my faithfulness, then I know that I'm not going to last. Because I know deep down inside, I'm not that great. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. But he says, remember God who called you. who called you to endure. And that's why Paul says, I charge you. I am a witness to you in the presence of God. Our God who is bigger even in the worst circumstances that you can encounter. And because of who God is, let that be a fuel to your faithfulness. And not only anchoring our faithfulness in God's character, but he also says, anchor your faithfulness in God's calling. Once again, 5b, fulfill your ministry. In the New Living Translation, it says, carry out the ministry God has given you. It's not, you're not in this because you thought it was a good idea, but it's God who has called you. And this is so important for us to remember. And it's not just ministry in the context of Timothy being a minister, but it's in the context of all of us being faithful ministers of the word, right? And so for students, that means your ministry takes place in the context of you being a student. For those of us who are working adults, it means that your ministry takes place in the context of in the workplace. That as you are faithful with everything that God has entrusted you with. Paul reminds Timothy that it's God who has called you. God who has opened the doors for you. And this is so important because when we understand that our faithfulness, when that faithfulness is rooted in the calling of God, it means that we can know that the God who has called you is a God who will be faithful to you. And because he will be faithful to you, his faithfulness will fuel your faithfulness. Prophet Isaiah, he reminds us in Isaiah 46b, where God declares, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. Right? God says, I will accomplish all my purposes. It's God who is going to do it. So when you think about Scripture, it's very interesting because there's so much emphasis on our responsibility, right? You can't avoid it. Paul says, Timothy, be faithful. And it's only Timothy who can be faithful. It's only Timothy who can continue to pursue and persevere. But on the other hand, Paul reminds Timothy that it's God who is going to do it because he is the one who will be faithful to you. He is the one who is going to give you the wisdom and the power for you to accomplish his purposes. And when he speaks that purpose into you, God will always accomplish that purpose. I'm reminded of the story of William Wilberforce. He was a member of parliament in the UK or United Kingdom. Began his political career in 1780. And as he entered into politics, he just really sensed this calling and this purpose of God. That God was calling him to be his instrument in abolishing the practice of slavery all throughout the UK. And in his diary, he wrote in 1787, that God hath called him to work for the suppression of the slave trade, that he was so convicted that this is the purpose that God spoke to him. And he also recognized that even while the people around him noticed that he was a very gifted speaker, he was very good with working with other people. But he himself, Wilberforce, understood that there's no way that apart from God and God's faithfulness to this calling, that Wilberforce on his own would never be able to accomplish this purpose. And so he depended on the strength, on the courage that God spoke to him day in and day out in trying to abolish slavery throughout the UK. Day in and day out, first year, second year, third year, fifth year, eighth year, 10th year, he labored faithfully for 20 years. And this is what one author writes. He says, and I quote, "It's a good thing Wilberforce remained faithful to God's calling for his life, because it took 20 years to persuade Parliament to pass an act abolishing the slave trade. And then consider that this was just one of many reforms Wilberforce championed during his lifetime. Today, we look at the life of man like Wilberforce with astonishment, yet it's just one example of the weight God gives to what any of us can do when we are faithful to him. We desperately need men and women who will faithfully live and lead God's way," unquote. A testimony of what God can do when we remain faithful to him. Paul gives this charge to Timothy: remain faithful. And not only to remain faithful, but the second challenge or the second charge, and we'll close with this. But he says, Timothy, finish well. This charge to finish well. So we have to think about the flow of how Paul is writing this letter here, right? Because Paul, even as he is describing a circumstance in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Being poured out as a drink offering, it's referring to the Old Testament sacrificial system, where during the sacrifice of a lamb, the wine was being poured out at the base of the altar. And he's describing his life as literally the sacrifice that's being poured out. "And my departure has come." That word departure, in the Greek, it has this connotation of a boat that's getting ready to sail. And so pretty much he's saying, my ship is set to sail. And so he knows that this is the end for him. That my time on this earth has come. But he reminds Timothy, but your time still goes on. And that's why he says in verse 5, "As for you, fulfill your ministry." Why? Because in verse 7 through 8, he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, even as I encourage you to fulfill your ministry, I have done what I am encouraging you to do. And Timothy, I want you to know that finishing well, that even though it might be costly, finishing well, it is worth it. That it's worth it. Now think about this encouragement that Paul is giving to Timothy. I fought the good fight. And we know the battles that Paul fought along the way. I have finished the race, and it was a difficult race for him. I have kept the faith. And I'm sure there were many times when Paul, I don't know if he wrote any of this, but thought to himself, I just imagine, because Paul is just like us, I'm sure there were many times if Paul thought, gosh, is this worth it? This is how Paul describes his journey. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. This is in the Message translation. He says, "I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door after time, I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert, sun, and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely nights without sleep, many a missed meals, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather, and that's not the half of it when you throw in the daily pressure and anxiety of all the churches. When someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. Right? This is the fight. This is the race that Paul had to endure. But he says it was worth it. He says it was worth it because Christ is worth it. And he says, Timothy, it is worth it because there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. That there is this reward that awaits me that is greater than all the comforts and all the riches and all the success and all the pleasures that this life on earth can offer. This crown of righteousness to become more like Christ. To know Christ more. Christ who is the source of our joy and our comfort. Christ who is the author of our peace, our redemption, our victory. He says, this is my goal. This is my prize. And as I am at the end, and I know that my time here is not long. And as I reflect on this journey of faith that God has brought me through, Paul says it's worth it. The joy of knowing Christ more. And I think these are such important words for many of us to hear, especially because many of us here are starting. You're just in that beginning stages of starting that race that God has called you to. Some of us, we're feeling like we're slowly reaching that midway mark. I feel like I've kind of gotten over that midway mark. It's worth it. And I know at times it doesn't feel like it's worth it because there's so many different things that are pulling at us, so many concerns, so many aspirations, so many ambitions, what other people say, what other people are experiencing and how they're living their lives. But Paul tells us, it's worth it because Christ is worth it. And it's not just Paul. Because in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And each of them ran the race that God has set before them. And as we think about the race that they endured, author of Hebrews reminds us, you also endure that race. Because that race is very different, right? Hebrews 11, 30 through 34, it says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. But then it also tells us in verse 35 through 38, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Each of them ran the race that God has set before them. And all of them, the commonality in all of their testimony is this, that they were able to faithfully endure the race because they saw even though the promise that God's spoken into their lives, even though on this life, in this earthly life, that they didn't see that promise becoming fulfilled, but they saw the faithfulness of Christ. And that one day, that all of God's promises for us will be fulfilled. And they said, Christ was worth it. It's not easy, man. You know, I still like to consider myself a young man, I guess, middle-aged man. I've been, at this for a while now. It's not easy. You know, you have lots of ups and downs, and the older and older I get, you just recognize how fallen you really are. Right? When I was younger, starting off ministry, I used to think to myself, man, like, you have all these aspirations of all these things that you want to accomplish in your ministry. But as you begin to walk with God, and as you begin to recognize just how fallen you really are, your perspective changes. So on one hand, yeah, you want to accomplish great things for God's kingdom because you believe that God is worthy. But really, I just want to finish well. Right? I want to finish well when I stand before God. I want God to speak over my life, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I know when we're younger, it's hard to think about finishing well because there's so much life. There's so much that's still ahead of you. And that's why we are surrounded by witnesses of these saints who have gone before us. And that's why for me, whenever I get discouraged, whenever I get to become discontent, whenever I start to question, God, is this really worth it? This is the book that I turn to. It's called From Jerusalem to Irinjaya. And it's not just testimonies of all these great missionaries over all these centuries. Some missionaries that y'all are familiar with, others you've never heard of. Regardless of the century that they lived in, regardless of the specific ministry assignment that God spoke into their lives, regardless of whether, even as they were starting the race like Borden of Yale, right? He never even got to the mission field that God was calling him to. Or regardless of whether you were in that field and faithfully laboring for 10 or 20 years, the common theme that you see over and over again, the same testimony in the lives of all these men and women, is the testimony that God is worth it. That Jesus is worth it. And that's what Paul is trying to communicate to Timothy. Timothy, I know that you've encountered some difficulties, and there's going to be more that's to come. And you're going to have to fight. The joy, it's not going to come easily. You're going to have to stand firm in the faith. You're going to have to contend. But he says, Timothy, remember this. Finish well because Jesus is worth it. Because we all know, it's not how you start, right? But it's how you finish. So for example, if we can turn to, I don't know how many of you guys watch the ball game. Any Duke fans? My brother-in-law, Paul, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. My wife's younger brother, he's a doctor at the VA hospital in Ann Arbor. And he texted my wife last night because he went to Duke. He's like, hey, I'm going to fly out to Austin tomorrow morning. And he was going to bring my nephew with him so that they could go to the final game on Monday. And he was asking, can I borrow one of your cars? And making all these plans. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, like he's going to fly out, because it seemed like a sure thing. I don't know if you guys, I mean, like for me, I was like, Duke's going to win. There's no way that they're going to lose. And then so I just kind of gave up watching the game. Well, also because I had to finish my message too. So, but then I was like, okay, there's maybe like 2 minutes left. And so I tuned in. 30 seconds left. Duke was up by 6. And when the game was over, Houston won by 3. Doesn't matter how you start. I mean, you know, starting off well, it's important. I'm not saying don't discard how you start off. But what matters is us finishing well. Don't give up. Right? Like if you saw the game, it's remarkable. These UH players. I know that it's not UT, but close enough, right? It's all within the state of Texas, so we're family. Like, you could see it in their faces, this determination, this belief, that even though they were down by 6 and they only had 30 seconds, I mean, they were going to fight tooth and nail. They're not just, they weren't going to lie down and say, you won. For us, it's not this deep abiding belief in ourselves. But for us, it's this deep abiding belief in Christ who will be faithful to us. So once again, the one thing for us this morning is this: finishing well, it's not easy. But we can rely on God's faithfulness that will empower us to be faithful to the end. That we can rely on God's faithfulness that will empower us to be faithful to the end. We're going to observe communion this morning. On the night that Jesus was about to be betrayed, he gathers his disciples to observe the Passover meal. And he breaks the bread and he passes the bread around and he says, eat, for this is my body that is broken for you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And then he pours the wine into the cup. And he passes the cup around and he says, this is my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it reminds us that while we were still sinners, that Jesus came and he lived a life that you and I could never live. This standard of God's perfect holiness. And he died the death that you and I deserve to die. So that through his resurrection, that we can have certainty, that we can know this new life in Christ. And when you think about this gospel message, yes, it is about God's love for every single one of us. That while we were still enemies of God, that he meets us through his mercy and his grace. But ultimately, when you think about this gospel message, it's about the greatness of who God is. Because the cross of Christ reminds us that it's not just that we've fallen here and there. It's not just that we make mistakes here and there. But it shows us just the gravity of how fallen we really are. That God had to come and die for us. But the gospel of Jesus also reminds us just how merciful God is. Because he took the weight of that judgment upon himself. It reminds us that God is worthy. That God is worthy. And I know that it's getting to that time, especially for our students, towards the end of the semester, when things are going to be super busy. I'm sure you're looking forward to the summer. Even for some of our working adults, I'm sure you're thinking about maybe summer vacation plans that you have. And it's just really easy to get into this mindset of, okay, as long as I finish. As we are slowly coming up towards the end of Lent and praying for our friends. But Paul will remind us, no, don't settle for just finishing, but finish well as you remember the worthiness of God. Because Jesus, he's for you. Even when you are weak, he's going to continue to be at work and strengthening you and reminding you of his grace and mercy. He will empower you. He will remind you over and over again that he who called you, he will be faithful. And may that faithfulness fuel our faithfulness. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We thank you, God, for just these wonderful words. Father, I pray that you will challenge us. May these words sink deep within our hearts. May it empower us as we move forward. God, that we want to be committed in raising up faithful men and women who will fight the good fight of faith, who will finish the race, who will cling on to you. Men and women who will finish well. So Father, remind us that even as we take communion together of the work of Christ in our lives, that his death and resurrection that not only speaks this forgiveness and renewal, but that speaks this power and hope, that even though, yes, we acknowledge that we're imperfect, at times we're going to fail, but we can continue to move forward in confidence because we know that you will always be faithful to us. Strengthen us, God, in our resolve. And help us to finish well. Pray all these things in Jesus' name.